Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Welcome to the 2019 Ordination Preparation Weekly Phone Meeting. We understand this is a holiday, and those that are a part of it, God bless you. And those that will listen at a later time, I pray you had an enjoyable holiday. We will open up in prayer. Pastor Marlette?
Yes, overseer. So, Father God, we come before you right now. We lift you up and we exalt your most holy and righteous name, Father God. We come praying right now asking that our eyes and our ears will be open to that which you are imparting to us, Father God, through the different presenters and information shared, Father God. We thank you, Father God, that as the candidates go through this process, Father God, we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that they would, amen, we pray that they will begin to see, Father God, and feel you move all through the process, Father God. God, we pray that it will be well with their souls, that which you have called them and are ordaining them and consecrating them to do, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Now, Father God, we pray that they will be that they will study to show themselves approved, workmen who need not be ashamed of the glory of God, but rightly dividing the truth, Father, in the name of Jesus. We decree and we declare, Father God, that your work says that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, Father God. So we speak it and we release it and we stand in the gap with them in agreement. We pray, Father God, that this consecration will not be life-changing, Father God, in the name of Jesus, but, Father God, it will draw them into a deeper relationship with you. It will draw them to a new depth, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father God. We glorify you for this time that we come together, Father God, and we stand in anticipation, Father God, of our coming together in August for the release of your power and your glory, the manifestation, the maturation, the miracles, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we decree it to be so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Excuse me. Thank you so much, Pastor, for opening us up in prayer. We are in a modified version of our weekly meeting, but we do want to remind you of the upcoming requirements, and everything should be turned in by now. If you have not and you will, then you need to contact me and give me an indication of when those things that have not been completed will be completed. Again, you need to let me know, 630-701-4303. So here we'll go through some of the things that have gone forth that you should have done and turned in. We are now in phase five. Your process included five phases. Your first phase was your bare information, your application, your personality test, and your gift assessment, and your gift mix, and your statement of faith. Phase one was about you and you presenting yourself to the process, you giving yourself over to the process. Amen. And then phase two was about your process. Your conversion statement, your mission, vision statement, what ministry you were called to, defining your ministry based on scripture, and identifying those supporting resources that are to define your role and those that you are called to. What will it look like? Getting you a vision even of your ministry. Seeking God's plan for calling you and sanctifying you for a specific task, and then finding out what that task is. And then your phase three was in relationship to others. how do you interact with others? Your relational intimacy questionnaire, your emotional status, and obedience to register for the conference. So at this point, all of the above should have been completed. Your fee for, with your application needs to be submitted. Your registration fee for the conference itself needs to have been submitted. And so we are going to, obviously, the deadline is passed, but that doesn't mean you're eliminated. It means you have to take responsibility to let me know when. Let me know when. So that was your phase three. Relationally, how do you interact with other people, including leadership, being obedient to the requirements? All candidates are required to be at the AEN conference. That AEN conference is going to take place. Let me get your information up. The conference is going to take place August 15th through Sunday, and that would be Thursday, August 15th through Sunday, August 18th. It's at the DoubleTree, and all of the specific information is always included in your weekly announcement that you should be opening up from Elder Sharita, and it indicates the conference fee is $65. It includes one banquet ticket. Other individual banquet tickets are $35 each. And we encourage you to invite your family and your friends to the conference, not just to your portion of it, but to the conference, so that they can become familiar with the accountability element in your spiritual growth and development. And it's always good that when people see the foundation that you are springboarding from, so that they actually can be in harmony with walking with you, one mind and one heart. And so if you invite them to come out to be introduced or to share, for those that do know, in the conference itself, it is going to be a tremendous time of preparation as it relates to not just your ministry, but how your ministry interacts with the government, with the legality of things, also with the religious community, the different marketplace of availability, the also the specifics based on your office and calling. That's why these information that you submitted and that you researched and that you came up with is so important, because it helps you to see the path that you're to be walking in. And so there are things at the conference that are geared to those that are elders, or those that are pastors, or those that are ministers, or those that are deacons. And so you want to be able to identify the information area and the ministry preparation that you need to make yourself available to. It is 3 days, and during that 3 days, there will be specific things that will be shared with you, very, very hands-on, interactive, role-playing, illustrative, very exciting things, even preparing your oil, your own ministry oil, understanding what makes it up. There's so many details and so many elements that are being prepared for your equipping, so that you know what the word has said and how best to walk in harmony with it, thereby receiving the power that is given to us. And so you do want to make sure that this conference becomes a life priority. I know that life happens, but sometimes we, and most times, not sometimes, but most times, we have to make a choice. And I pray that your choice will be that which will enhance the whole purpose and anointing and calling that is on your life. And so as we go down the list of the different phases that you've gone through, your last phase, which was phase four, was your defend the faith. The defend the faith was now presenting and stirring you up to understand what the Bible is saying so that you can best communicate it to others in truth, so that you have a working knowledge of the good news that you are going to be handling, the gospel that you're going to be handling, understanding it, and being able to present it just on paper helps you to establish and to recognize how to present it when the opportunity arises. And so we are at phase five now, which is our consecration. Now we are being sanctified for the task, being sanctified through our consecration. And so we are going to talk about the consecration and some of the things that you need to do and you need to know and you will experience. And even go through, we went through one last week, we will go through one of this week, the consecration is the time where we are focused on our covenant relationship with God. In ministry, you must know, hear, and obey the voice of God. And one of the better things to do in doing that is praying and fasting. This consecration will include both of those items. We have presented some information on different types of fast. We presented some information on different types of prayers. And each has its root in Scripture, and those things we will share. And so as you do your consecration, there were questions that you should pray and ask about before you start your daily consecration commitment. And some of those questions are up on your page. It says, you know, I hear the word miracle. Even when we hear that, Lord, what are my expectations? You know, what is my understanding? Can I recognize your voice and your move? Can I see a God's eye view? Can I see you at work around me in these miraculous events in Scripture? They reveal these things of how other saints going into ministry or in ministry, how they responded. Do I believe the word that is the focus of this season or of this thing or of this miracle? And then do I know your voice? Do I know, am I familiar enough with your voice in this miraculous move that I can, without doubt, question, or hesitation, go forth in faith? And so as a result, the whole purpose of this consecration is developing faith for the next move, developing faith for the next move. And it is grounded in accountability and covenant relationship. And this is some of the tools that we use to unblock areas that we didn't even know were blocked. And as we make the commitment with you, which you should sign or email back to me after you answer it, the emailing back to me is actually your signature. Because when it comes back to me from your email address, that is enough of evidence that you did send it, you did agree, and you are submitting your commitment. It is to be done in group accountability. So get you your accountability partner should be doing this in tandem with you. So what will that look like? We have a lot of elements that we talk about that sometimes you may not be sure, okay, what does that look fast? What does that look like? What does a fast look like? And we share with you a very brief summary list of the different types of fast. In this consecration, one of the purposes is to introduce to us or to establish and build in our lifestyle different varying ways of praying, of fasting, of communicating with God. And so each one comes with a specific function. We look at prayer as a, obviously, communication with God. We all know what it is. And yet there are so many different prayer postures. Okay? And so we want to just become aware of those things so that when the Spirit is speaking to us in a certain way about a certain thing, He will also give us a prayer posture. Why is it important to have a prayer posture? It's important because of focus. Hold on. Okay. There you are. So we look at the different prayer postures. We sent you out a very, very small list of them. And so we're going to week by week just be looking at some of the different ones. But it's important the position we take, because as we cause our natural body to come into subjection to the spirit realm, we want to have a basis of scripture that supports and give us the power to transform in that moment, in that going forth, in the examples that have been given to us. And so when we look at our consecration, we have four columns. We have four areas that we're to focus on. And in those areas, as we spoke about, we're speaking about prayer, you can combine, for instance, the name of God aspect of your consecration is well suited with a breath prayer. In a breath prayer, you breathe in the name of God and you breathe out what you should put on because of that. So that gives you two things and three things in one shot. The name of God you're focusing on, the put on, put off, and your prayer and your prayer posture. Okay, your prayer position. The breath prayer is just allowing us to get into the rhythm of the Spirit. It's bending our head and closing our eyes, breathing softly. And the reason, because that is what we are saying, still my spirit. Prepare me to even come in your holy presence by breathing in His name. God, the banner for the nation. I'm an evangelist. God, the banner for the nation. You breathe that in. You see what the scripture is, and it's a very, very powerful scripture that we're looking at, and it leads even to one that's even more insightful in what we're doing. And so as we're breathing in, and we're just doing that first week, this week that we're in now, looking for the reference to it right now. We're breathing in. It's in Isaiah 11 and 12. And so this gives us, what did God say about being a banner? And what does that have to do with me? Well, as you look it up, as you read it, and it's just one verse, so it's not like you have to read, you know, a whole book of the Bible. In your exercises, in your activities, He will start unfolding what that means, banner for the nation. And if you're an evangelist, you're going forth in the marketplace, this is scripture that you need to understand and know exists and what God has said about. So what you want to do is when you are looking at these different items, you can combine them, and it's not do this and do that and do the other. But just in doing one thing, you may do all of the things. So as you breathe in the name of God, and if you don't have that resource for the name of God, they are just, wow, there's just so many different resources you can get online. But if you have the one that is presented for this week, then it's introducing to you this name. We know him as our Savior and our Healer and our Abba Father and our Shepherd. But do we know him as the banner for the nation? And why is that important to me, who's about to be sent out, separated for a task for him? So you breathe out, you breathe in the name of God. That's what you want your spirit to be overwhelmed by, to be surrounded by. And then you breathe out how it relates to you. So as you breathe in, he is the banner over the nations. You breathe out, I will follow you. Where you send me, I will follow. And so you breathe in him, and then you breathe out your commitment to him as it relates to his name. And so you can do that just with, like I say, this week's the banner of the nation. You're breathing in that Isaiah scripture where he says he will give them to you. So he lets you know, I'm going to do this. I'm sending you to them, but I've already given them to you. They have been marked for me through you. And so the walls of Jericho fall down. This is the children of Israel going over into the promised land, being sent to take the land over for the kingdom of the Holy God, which is what we're doing. So we look at the miraculous event and see how am I in that? How would that relate to me? How would that look in my ministry? What is it I should look for? I think one of the most interesting parts of the Jericho was the fact that they had to be silent and just obey and listen for and not jump ahead. So just different things, and these answer the question, how should I move? What do I hear? What do I know? What I believe? And so we're exposing ourselves for some biblical truths that will empower us as we go forth being sanctified and consecrated for God. And so we put on, it says reverence in church, and we put off irreverence. And so when we read those scriptures, this is a time for reflection. Where am I now? This is kind of our thermometer. You want to take your temperature. Where am I now? You read this scripture in Ecclesiastes 5:1. Does that represent me? Irreverence in church and not revering God as I should, and therefore not having making him my total number one priority. And then reverence for God. And what does that look like? How will that change? How will that just ever so slightly alter my lifestyle? And so this is the way this should unfold for us as we are going through this consecration. Now, one of the things about consecration is we have other people online. You feel free to share stuff right in there. And so we look at our week one is talking about the 12-hour fast. All right. And so what we've done is given you suggestions even on fasting. Well, going back to prayer, we have a little, what do you call it? Not a cheat sheet, but just a little breakdown. You know, it's like, oh, wow, you want me to pray? One of the things is 2 hours and 40 minutes. What does that look like? And so we give you little suggestions. You know, if it's 5 minutes of praising and then 5 minutes of just waiting, quiet, not saying anything, you're just in His presence. 5 minutes of confessing whatever the Holy Spirit might have brought to your remembrance as you were waiting. 5 minutes of scripture reading, reading the scripture as it relates to the miracle. 5 minutes of watching to see what He will say to you. 5 minutes of intercession, not just for your journey, but the journey for those around you. There are those that are making a prayer commitment to the prayer watch, and we'll talk about prayer watch a little later. And so you're praying for yourself as well as others, but all because we're all one body. And in order to succeed, in order to be in line and in harmony with the Word of God, we have to become one in with Christ. And then 5 minutes of petitioning. The things, what do I need for me to make it through this process? You know, God, give me, you know, what does He say? He's the author of time. You know, I can't think of that scripture right now. But, you know, He can make time stop if He wants to, in order for you to get it in your day, everything you need that will bring Him priority one in your life and not just putting Him off, okay? And then 5 minutes, and this is just 5 minutes. 5 minutes is not a long, long time. 5 minutes of thanking Him and trusting that He will do it, and then 5 minutes of singing. Just singing a song, humming a hymn, doing a prayer, listening to a praise song. 5 minutes of praising Him because He's there. 5 minutes of meditating on your time with Him. And then your hour is done. I would say it's done. It will come to an end quicker than you can imagine. And so there's just things that we have available to us. Sometimes it seems like it's too much or so much, but just pick one thing. And so this consecration is designed to just introduce a lot of some of the different lifestyle disciplines that should become a part of our life. Not every day and not all of them, not all together, not any one, but just a variety. And so we started with the 12-hour fasting. This 12 hours is the time that you choose. And we want to be honest with God. We're not trying to loophole our way. I'll fast from after dinner to before breakfast, you know, because I'm asleep. No. The whole point is whatever it is you learn to abstain from, and fasting is abstaining from something that you normally do. It is taking that time and filling it with something God wants to do and wants for you to do. One of the ways is sacrificial exercise that's put on by unplugging. No emails, no cell phones, no Facebook, no Twitter, no television. It depends on whatever it is that might be a priority that you decide to set aside. And they say turn your plate over. You kind of turn the plate over, clip the remote off, or whatever activity, exercise. I'm going to say the meaningless ones, but the ones that you have chosen and putting them aside to see what God will choose and how that will satisfy your heart and your spirit and grow you spiritually. Any comments or questions, insights, inspirations? All right, so when we look at
good evening, Overseer. I was
just
trying to make sure my phone stays plugged in. Happy whatever Independence Day, I guess. Every day is a holy day, and we do honor, you know, man's rules as a holiday, so we just go with that. But I've been enjoying what you've been saying regarding the consecration. I really take pleasure in the fact that it is so varied. I enjoy that there are so many different things, because personally, sometimes I just have a hard time doing that one thing for, you know, turning something totally new into a habit for the entire duration, you know, and if there are multiple things. So when I look at this, even when I look at it horizontally, like just looking at the things, just say like during this week, you know, all of the various categories, and as well as looking at it vertically, because there's some things I feel that I need to be doing more than others. I may need to be doing that for more than a week. And there are other things where I feel that, you know, might not be as necessary. That schedule that you just read, I thought was very helpful, because 5 minutes, I mean, we do anything. I'm, you know, be on hold for 20 minutes with whomever, you know, the bank, any government agency, you know, whatever, those kinds of things. So that when we think about the 5 minutes, or as you're itemizing them, it's like, okay, that's a lot of things. But when you start doing something, the beauty of the word, when you start hearing it, you know, if you just, you know, got something where it's reading to you and you're meditating, you know, before you know it, it's like, wow, okay, that was a whole chapter. That was, you know, 15 minutes. That was 20 minutes. That was, you know, where you can just get lost just in the study and in the presence. And I think that those spiritual disciplines that are incorporated in the consecration this year are really good, because, like, people that are commuters and things like that, some of those breath prayers and centering prayers, you can just do that anywhere as you're walking down the street. And because we are indwelt, you know, and he inhabits the praise as you're doing it, just like, you know, your prayer language. You know, you can kind of be doing that to yourself and just edifying and blessing somebody you may not even know. You know, what it is that you're, you know, who it is that you're interceding for, or what the Lord has you praying for. You may be praying for your own forward momentum, but it also may be that the Lord has, you know, has you praying for somebody else that you don't even know. But just, you know, using that time, filling that time with something, you know, something else. There are all kinds of studies that talk about what it takes to develop a habit, how many times, how many days that you need to do that. But one of the well-known authors, and this is nothing new, this is a very old title. This is a secular title called The Seven Habits by Stephen Covey. And I mean, it's still one of the best sellers even now, you know, and it's probably 30 years old, if not more than that, but probably at least 25. But I remember that when I was in a corporate situation where they made you do that, and one of the things that he was saying about a habit, that it has to always be threefold. It has to be, there has to be a knowledge base, there has to be a skill base, and then there has to be a motivation, a base of motivation. Amen. Where the knowledge is the,
I said amen.
Yeah, he was saying where the knowledge is just the what and the why, the skill is the how, but the motivation is the want to. And I think that, you know, we have to be mindful that, you know, the scripture says, be not weary in well doing. But sometimes, you know, you can keep doing, you can do this. We work and attempt to, you know, do what is pleasing to the Lord. But sometimes you can just, the lack of motivation that, you know, I think that we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord, and we have to recognize that in season and out of season, you know, and when we find ourselves in places where we know might not be the best place, we can't just stay there and maybe I'm talking about me, but, you know, I mean, but I know that in general it is situations and circumstances that people in the body of Christ, you know, just it's fatigue. It's just like everything else that we can be working and you're working for a good thing. And so just some of the things and some of the thoughts on what God will give the body during this, what God will give the new candidates during this for some of the changes and enhancements to the organization, some of the new developments and departments and leaders and areas. You know, as we look at being well-rounded, you know, well-rounded as individuals, well-rounded as people in our whatever, reformation, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call that. And then ecumenically, you know, in the world, you know, just being able, you know, the three circles, if you will, you know, you know, the me, us, them, you know, or, you know, I, you, we, however, you know, however you want to, you know, hear it up. But yeah. I am excited about the, I'm excited about the consecration. I'm still working some things out, but like I said, the fact that there are options, but yet still gives you the structure, allows, you know, to me, I, you know, I don't feel any condemnation that, ooh, you know, we shouldn't do all 12 hours. It's like my main goal is what, you know, what is the Lord telling me to do? Did I do that? You know, and what does that look like? And now, Lord, show me how to make the I don't even want to say obligation. I can't even, that's not the word I'm looking for. But show me how to make it work. Show me, you know, based on that Proverbs 16 and 3, submit that work unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Show me how to make it work. And that's the blessing for me of that scripture, that we don't have to figure it out by ourselves. You know, in that time of prayer, in that time of, what did you say, quiet meditation, where we sit for the 5 minutes or longer, whatever it takes to hear what the Lord is saying, you know, with pen and paper, you know, with, you know, expecting, with an expectation of hearing from God.
Amen. And I love it because I believe just like with any relationship, sometimes you have to bring in a fresh activity, you know, bring new light, a new spirit into a relationship. And these are spiritual disciplines that, like you say, you don't have to use them all the time, for some only, but you have a variety. Because God is he's a creative God. And so he doesn't want us to get in a rut. He wants us to get in a relationship. And one thing you may do this week, you don't need to do next week. Or what you did this week, which it's presented to you, if you hear his voice, then that's what you follow. And so we don't give very specific, you got to do this, 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 and this. We are being prepared and trained to follow him, to follow his voice, the guidance of Holy Spirit, the correction and the comfort and the teaching. And so we don't always, at one point, we needed all of the rules. We need to do step one, step two, step three. But now as leaders, as you go forward, he's going to impart into you rules to give other people. He's going to impart into you standards that you're going to have to try to present to people. And he needs us to do it with creativity. And so there's such a variety of things that make walking with him a breath walk. I'm just walking and breathing. And so that's one of the things that I think, how many times have you heard someone in a crisis or having an issue, okay, just stop, breathe deep, just breathe deep. Now, there is a physical response that our body has when we do that. Can you imagine when we understand that and understand the breath prayer, that we're then really empowering ourselves spiritually to overcome whatever is going on around us and establishing the correct image of God through his people. And so as we do these things, and sometimes it may not even be an established prayer time, and we talked about those. That's what will happen next week. I think you have to pick a specific prayer time and prayer space. So there's just different aspects that we're being exposed to exercise. And we're going to find the Holy Spirit is going to, he said he'll bring to your remembrance. Well, you got to know it first. You got to have experienced it. And as you do, it then becomes a part of you spiritually. And he can bring that up in the midst of crisis, or as you're ministering to other people, or as those they come to you, or there's chaos, or there's just opportunity being presented to you, you will have an arsenal, if you will, of powerful, equipping spiritual disciplines to put into action. That's how people see God in us. Not our solution to the crisis, not even our words up in the crisis, unless they're the words that God gave us. And so as a result, this is just preparing us to be able to allow the Lord to flow from us. And the best way to do that, the only way really, is when we decrease and he increases. And in anything, in order for something to become stronger and bigger, you have to exercise it. You have to use it, and it becomes, you become, as you said, the three parts. You become skilled at it because, you know what, it's you now. It's something that he introduced to you. It's like when we were introduced to ice cream. We liked it, and we are some people, and you made it a part of what you consume. Maybe not every day, but it had its place because someone introduced it to you, and it had a positive effect, if you will. And so the same thing is with these spiritual disciplines. As you presenting these things, you may find people, I don't know how many people with these prayer watches, wake up at a certain time and they go, why am I woke? And sometimes you sit up there and wonder why you woke instead of, oh, prayer watch. Oh, maybe what prayer watch is this? So then you become focused, and now your awake time becomes purposeful. It becomes very purposeful. So you're not just sitting there tossing and turning, counting sheep. Okay. But like, wait a minute, what happened in the Bible this time of day or this time of night? Oh, wow, yeah, this is what. And so knowing the focuses of these prayer watches, and it just means what, when the time and the prayer activity was presented in Scripture, what was going on? What was going on? So how many times did, you know, after ministry, and these are information that you need, after you minister, how many times have you seen others go and they pray, you know, for the person and do what they do? And it's like, oh, that's just a protocol. No, that's Scripture. After Christ would teach and preach, he would, and that was our first miracle. He sent them away so he could go in the mountain and pray. So that's the prayer that's been, you separate yourself from everybody, okay, and allow the Lord to pour into you. Now, he definitely uses man. I'm not saying he doesn't, but we need to understand even that is not all, because that wasn't what happened in Scripture, and Christ is our example, and so we have to learn in this season of sanctification, being separate, that there are going to be specific activities, I don't want to call them activities, but encounters that we're going to have to see or and embrace, because that is what is going to give us the ability to stand and go forth. When Christ got through, I think that's one of our miracles maybe, but when he got through in the wilderness, you know, he know that temptation is coming. An awesome, awesome time of worship and praise that changes the atmosphere, then know right now, soon as, the enemy is going to come and try to tempt you. But also know that when you persevere, when you give the word of God and you go through the process that he lays it out before us, that he said then ministering angels came and ministered to him. So even when we are abstaining from something and causing our bodies to naturally have these effects and whatever, and we sent that to you in the Daniel fast, and so that you can know this is going to happen and this is going to happen and it's okay, and what to do to counter it, you know your answers because it's been, you've been exposed to it. And so it is our desire that as you try the different fasts, and we did the Daniel fast because it's really all, and we, I don't think we said you had to do the Daniel fast. However, you were given different things to avoid and things to consider. And just going back to basics, it was the Daniel fast does. And it can be a variety of different ways. If you read the scripture, you'll know why Daniel fast is appropriate for you in this season. And so that's when we gave you the list of the Daniel fast. And then I think one of the other ones is the John the Baptist fast. And it's like, okay, what is that? And it's really just no strong drink. And that's just pop, wine, beer, you know, alcohol. Okay, it, for him it was a lifetime. And then, it's, you know, and some of these things are things that would enhance us naturally anyway. But if it's what God has ordained for you, you will know because you'll get that, he'll tell you. We had one person who, when they got it, they said, you know what, this is what I need to do for the rest of the year, the rest of the year. And so that Daniel fast just becoming a lot of people like, you know, you buy those things and have a purge, what they call them things, a colonic purge, whatever. Yeah. You know, that's all a Daniel fast really is. It's just stop with all the, I'll just say dumb stuff and don't eat all the good stuff God made. Okay. And naturally. And what became interesting, they started searching and they got all of these menus. And so people started sharing menus. And it got to be very, it was exciting. It was something new. And it was something actually very, as it relates to our taste buds, it awakened, huh? The Ezekiel bread, just different things. It was like, wow. So life becomes purposeful. You know, we don't just mindlessly, because we see the commercial, stop at McDonald's and get something to eat. Now, I remember there was a time, just a sharing of, as it relates to Daniel fast, when the church went on it, and any time we had a meeting, it was like we were in competition of who found and came up with the best type of snack. You know, and so people go, well, what do you got? And this guy, I got this in there, and somebody else put some other things together, and it was much better snacking than a bag of potato chips for some cheese balls. And it really was more flavorful for us. And so it became a thing that also helped us become one. It helped us to have that
continuity?
You know that stuff.
Koinonia.
Yes, thank you. You know, and different ones called, oh, what are you doing? I came up with this. And they typed up recipes. They came up with soups and breads and that, you know. And so then it became a focus, putting God as priority and honoring what he has done in the earth realm. And, you know, just some of the things that purges us.
And honoring your body. You know, in a more reverent way. We had the exact same results a couple of times in doing the Daniel fast as a church. You know, it got to be where people are like, man, you need to try this with tofu. Oh, you need to try, you know, some soy sauce on this and cut up some scallions in it. You know, you'd be like, huh? And then you know, it's like, oh, that was good, you know. And it really was, you know, and a lot of the people made some significant changes. And I think that, you know, that's how God works. He knows what we need.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know in the big picture what we need under every category. But as we move in a progression, you know, so some of the people really did make some major changes to the way that they were eating because they felt so much better, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, and some of the people, you know, reverted back. One thing I wanted to mention that you were saying at the beginning was I know personally, when I first looked at that, I was looking at some of the put-on and put-offs, and I said, okay, I need to maybe do a fast from the whole electronic thing. And the more I thought about it, the more anxious I became. I mean, I wasn't having like a breakdown about it, but I was thinking like, okay, is this really realistic? How true and honest am I going to be with this, given that I have three or four things that are kind of in the workings? It's like, okay, I'm going to need to know what's going on with this. I'm going to need to respond. And it's
right.
Like the Holy Spirit just kind of said the whole idea of, if I would just take the time that I am mindlessly online, that would be at least 5 or 6 hours a day. You know, like where you know, like in being intelligent about it, that, you know, what we need to do for business, if you need to be paying bills and handling some stuff, God doesn't want us to be reckless and negligent with some other things. You know, it's like obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, in that kind of situation. But in really being honest, most of the time online is just looking at stuff, reading, just, you know, just whatever, just all over the. I mean, I know at minimum 5 hours a day. It might not be 5 consecutive hours, but an hour and a half in the morning, you know, a couple hours in the afternoon, 3 hours at night, you know, an hour before bed or whatever. And if you really look at that and write stuff, that's amazing when you start writing stuff down, any kind of list. Food logs, time logs, you know, whatever, prayer logs, study logs, to really see what we really do with our time. It's kind of like the avoidance of the budget, you know. It's like, ooh, when you really write it down, it's empowering. It's scary on one hand, but it's empowering, you know, if you take it and really, you know, and really use it. But anyway, but yeah, I think that the consecration, this is an interesting consecration, probably should be just something in the rotation. I'm thinking personally, just try to figure out a way how to just work this in as part of some quarterly stuff, you know, that because the enemy is busy, you know, and so, you know, the more we do it, the more it becomes habitual, you know, and your prayer language seems so awkward at the beginning, but the more you do it, you know, it can come sometimes in second nature. You know, before you even know it, it'll just come up and out, you know, just like cussing. Right. You know, I mean, and I'm not trying to put those in the same thing, but I mean, as far as an analogy of what we do, certain things, I guess that's what it is. Habit, duh. You know, it's not mind-boggling. It's just the whole idea that we do things, and whatever we are getting, whatever that payoff is, you know, I sound tougher, I think it's cute, I think it's clever, you know, I'm not thinking beyond, you know, my nose, so I can't come up with a better word than to say something expletive to you as opposed to what I really mean, you know. And then even deeper, I think, on when we look at how our behavior, when we look at something like the fruits of the Spirit, how all of those things should be what's coming out of us, what people are seeing, you know. So when we start to be reflective in some of these exercises, you know, and you sit there and wait and you read something, you know, the Holy Spirit will certainly identify and expose those things that aren't like Him if we give Him place. You know, I heard somebody say, you know, He's a gentleman, so He ain't going to break in. But if you give Him place, you know, and say, you know, remind me, you know, guide my tongue, you know, let my itching ears, you know, before it comes out of my mouth, you know, what am I listening to, you know, it's just, you know, Lord, go before me, you know, really,
absolutely.
And give me the ability to use the lamp that's at my feet. You know, and stop stumbling around, you know, because it's amazing. God is amazing. But anyway.
He is.
Yeah.
And we don't want it to be overwhelming. And I believe this helps. You won't feel defeated. And I do encourage you. You start off your day doing a certain thing and you made your mind up to it and it didn't work. This is the beauty of His relationship. He wants us to understand, you come to me. And you repent. He said, I understand your weakness. He's made strong. Don't be afraid of failure because He has given us Holy Spirit who is the guarantor of it, to teach us, to correct us, correct
and
us.
And there's no
wonderful
condemnation in him, you know.
Exactly. He corrects us because he loves us and because he's preparing us for something he knows that we were created to do. So I didn't want people to shy away, fasting. Sometimes that's just overwhelming, just the word itself. And yet there are so many aspects of it that he wants to introduce us to so we don't fear the things or dread the things relating to our spiritual walk, but rather we get excited about them. And so as a result, it is customized based on where you really are. And it may just be one thing that you want to fast, say, 12 hours for from 6 to 6, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And maybe that's fried food. If fried food is your thing, or McDonald's is your thing, or fast food, not necessarily fried, but fast food. And you just fast for that for those 12 hours every day, okay? There are 24-hour fasts, and we're not in a place necessarily in our teaching and our preparation to do those kinds of 3-day fast, 40 days fast, and that sort of thing. People on medication, there is a juice fast, and just liquid. You can get so much in liquid form that you really don't need to eat food for a specific period of time. And so that may be the fast that you take, where it's juice only, and that's juice with water or milk and that sort of thing. And so there are different aspects of it just to introduce you to the fact, or rather for you to introduce your flesh to the fact it will not be catered to for this, because I am crucifying that part of me in this moment to God, and then replacing it with, again, some of your spiritual discipline activities that you can do. One of the things I have found, when you're looking at your scripture, read the whole chapter. Read the context of where the name of God is placed, so you understand what was going on. You know, just read, and it's not that much, you know, even though it may be one verse, read the first section where that verse is a part of. Sometimes your Bibles are headed in a chapter, you know, of different activities, you know, and within that heading, you may have 10 verses. So you want to be able to read the surrounding context of the things that are going on, like with our Jericho, start at the beginning of the chapter and understand the preparation before they actually started walking around, because that's generally the part we miss. There are some scriptures we know, but we did not know that they were a part of another set of scriptures. We just knew the end thereof, and yet we need to understand, you know, the context that these this spiritual information is given to us, scriptural information. So you want to do that. You want to look up a word. If there's a word in what you're reading that you're really not sure of, or when you read it, it didn't make sense for that word, it may mean that word means something else. There was I think it was devote, when he was talking about those, don't touch those devoted things. So devoted things, you would think, were those that were, you know, sanctified for God. But I don't think that's what it meant in that particular scripture. So I'm not saying, you know, do a word search or whatever, but you can do with a lot of these Bible apps and the computers and what, if you just click on that word and tell them define it as it relates to that scripture, and it will give you a different word, and then the scripture will take on a whole different meaning. And so that's the kind of thing we want to do. And I think that what you'll find, as Elder Deborah shared, once you start doing it, you get lost in this wonderful journey. And it's like Holy Spirit will lead you from one thing to another, and you'll be so excited. Okay, well, what is this? Oh, let me go there and see what that says. A lot of you, when you read scripture, it makes reference to other scriptures. You have time, just go look at one of those scriptures. So it may say this is done in John and Luke and, Mark. Then go look at it in John, Luke, and Mark, because that's part of your time meditating and studying. That study not just reading Word, but studying the Word. And so make it exciting. Make it a time of adventure, of discovery. That's the word. A time of discovering this new season, or this new level of faith. You're discovering, you're looking for a treasure, you look diligently, because you have to first believe that it's there. You got to know that it's there. You got to believe it's there and that you can find it. And because the scripture gives us that promise, you know that you can. And so we want to remind you, accountability partners, your questions, start formulating them and sending it to me. This is July. Your time is going to fly.
Ooh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, it is.
Obviously, before I know it's 8 o'clock. I just wanted just to tag on the end of that. I think it is so important that people take advantage of the technology. Most of that stuff is free. Pretty much everybody has a phone, or where there is access. But reading it in context, I think, is just crucial. Along with reading or listening to, if reading is an issue, listening to the various translations, mm-hmm. to look, read
yes.
it in the Amplified, listen to it in the Message, and listen to it in the King James. Sometimes things have been taught and shared in a way, in many instances,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't the context that the scripture was even written in, and unless you delve in some of these things yourself, you wouldn't even know. And just like you said, that not only or they've been presented in a different way, that the connection hasn't been made with the full chapter,
mm-hmm.
with the location, the people, what was going on historically, that so many, there's just so many different levels. And lastly, that there is something that happens. I don't know what this is, but it seems like when you go through these processes and people know that you have been elevated and you have accepted a call in your life, then there is an expectation sometimes for people to expect you to know maybe more than you know, to know it on a deeper level. And so this is a prime opportunity to use this consecration time to, delve into some areas of study maybe that might not normally be the regime that people have been using. I believe that it'll really come in handy because, people will pull on your anointing, make a demand on your anointing, and it helps to be in a position where we're not ashamed, that we're prepared, and equipped.
There you go. Study the show. And don't study and memorize it all. He knows that you're not going to know it all. But he says, I'll bring it back to your remembrance when you need it. So you don't really have to prove yourself to people. You just have to present yourself to God, and he will speak through you. Don't get so caught up in, I can't do it, or this is scary, or I'm going to answer the questions right. Do you not know? I told somebody today.
That's a book title. You don't have to prove yourself to people. You have to just present yourself to God. There's something in that one. But anyway, go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Bless God.
Really, and wear it so that they don't put garments on you like the king tried to put on David that don't fit. That don't fit me. All I got is a slingshot. I don't have a sword and an armor and a helmet and it. Maybe that's how they roll. This is all I got, and this is what I know to use, because this I know God has used, because he used me before when I killed that bear and that lion. And so there are things that you have had victories in. They're the things that give you the encouragement and the courage and the faith to trust that God will do it even in a new place that you are not familiar with. And so we just want you to enjoy the process. Don't get all upset or anxious about answering a question. This is not about answering questions. This is about preparing to hear what God is saying and then allow that to flow from you. That's what it's about. And so you don't have to worry, what questions they're going to ask. When we walk in harmony with people, which is the idea of the accountability partners, okay? God is going to give them the questions they ask you. And God knows the questions, so you got somebody that's going to answer. All you have to do is rely on him. And if you, you know, I had someone once, a couple of times in those settings, I don't know. I'm flat out, I don't know the answer. And you know what? That's a good answer. Because if you don't know, don't fake it. You don't know. Now, I promise you, if you ask them today, oh, they know. They know now. But and that's what life and spiritual growth and development is about. You know, it is about, you know, if you don't know, you tell, you be honest. Integrity, if it does not diminish your anointing, but what it does, it is motivated. That's that third, you talked about your motivation, your skill, and that other thing I can't remember. I never remember the third thing. But that's the motivation.
Knowledge.
Okay, thanks. Well, that is important. Oh, okay. Okay, so that's where you're motivated. You know, so that you will have an answer. You should always be ready for an answer, to give a good answer. You know, and so obviously at times you don't have a good answer. But the best answer is always the one with integrity. I don't know. And then the one in sincerity, I'll find out. Because we are a system. We are a body. I will go and ask the hands about this. Or I'm the elbow. I'm going to check with the wrist. I don't know. But the wrist know. And so because I am in relationship and covenant accountability and relationship, I can go and we can get it. I can tell you where to go and you can get it for yourself if that's what God wants you to do. So I just want people to be embracing the process with joy and with an excitement and an anticipation of what God is going to do. Because you didn't call yourself. He called you. And he will prepare you. All right? So we want to remind whoever is up next week, I believe it is, I did have it. No, I forgot it.
It might be okay. Us. I don't know. I got to look and see.
Yeah, it is. It is you. You're absolutely right. It is you. And we will also have a presentation by a chaplain, Cynthia, who has done a wonderful study on the mountain of family. And so that's one of the things we will look at next week, a mountain of family. We're going to look at some more prayer postures and prayer watches. We are asking that you sign up, and accountability partners and all of the members of AEN are signing up for to cover a prayer watch on your behalf. And so we do have some watches still open, and if you desire, just text me.
Overseer, is the
yes,
expectation
ma'am.
that you are praying through the entire three-hour watch, or you are praying specifically
no.
for certain things in the watch? Can you clarify that a little bit?
Absolutely. You can commit to whatever prayer. Maybe the third prayer watch at 2 o'clock. That's it. So that's what you cover. That's what you're down for. We just want 24 hours to be covered. There's some people that cover the whole watch, you know, because that's their prayer time, and their focus is going to be what that prayer watch focus is on behalf of those being prepared for service, because everybody has been through this process of preparation for service, and so they understand the warfare against it, the need for it, the resources they need, and the prayer covering that is required. And so those are the things that you're signing up for, is an hour or more in a particular prayer watch. Maybe you have two. You may have the 6 o'clock hour and the 7 o'clock hour. That splits two prayer watches. And you just say 6 o'clock and the hour of 6 and the hour of 7. And that's the commitment that we write you down for. And this is for the entire, actually, 45 days. It was started July 1st through August 14th, which is the Wednesday before the conference. Okay? So.
Okay, good. Yeah, that helps. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. Sometimes we think things are clear because we know it, but others aren't really sure, and we encourage questions. That's how, because if you have a question, someone else had it too. And so thank you so much for, you know, exposing that so that we could give clarity to it. So at this point, we'll just
Overseer. Yeah, since you went through it and you said it like that, and you said somebody could have 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock, so you could split those watches?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. The commitment is the prayer, and the prayer is to the focus of that watch. And so, absolutely. Maybe yours is 3 p.m. and 3 a.m. Fine. Whatever it is that you will commit to. So, we thank you guys. We'll have our apostle close us out, please.
Father, we bless you and we honor you. We thank you, Lord God, for the purpose that you have put upon us in this process. We pray, Father God, that we would allow the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened. We pray, Lord, that we would allow our hearts to be circumcised. But, Lord, we pray that we would allow these things to take place so that we can have a view of you that we've not had in the past, so that we can come know you in a way that we've not known you in the past. We pray, Father God, that we would not be so committed to a structure, but we would be committed to a sovereign God. We pray, Father God, that we would allow you, Lord God, that we would walk by faith and not by sight, that we would not always have to see it, to embrace it, to believe it, that we would embrace the message that you do, and we won't say, oh, God doesn't move this way, or this isn't the way he has taken me in times past, but that we would allow our hearts and our spirits and our minds to be open to that which we desire to do now. God, Father, I pray, Lord God, that we would honor one another, we would love one another, we would esteem one another, that there would be a sense of unity that exists in such a way, Lord God, that we would be able to have a Pentecostal experience, Lord God, that
Amen.
We would be able to experience you, your presence would rest in our midst because of the unity and because of the love.
Amen.
Then we pray, Lord God, that with that fire, we would become contagious. And we bless you for it. We bless you for your people and for their process and for their faithfulness, for the instructors that you have positioned before you so that you can pour out in them, so that they can pour out upon us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray,
amen. Amen.
Amen.
So next week.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And one thing is Independence Day. But let us remind us that this day, let us strengthen our dependence on God. Amen.
Amen.